This is We Met You When, a podcast by journalism students at Toronto Metropolitan University. We go back in time, dig up new stories from 2013, and track down the people in these stories.
So that sound has always stuck with me. And it's one of those things that I'll continue to carry with me, not to get too dark and deep, but it's one of those things that I still can hear, even 10 years later.
We want to know, what happened after their names were in the news?
I sat down at the piano and I remember trying to play. And then after like 2 minutes, I just like broke down into tears because I felt like I had lost so much of my abilities, my technique, everything I had worked for.
Well, we have managed to fill in some of the gaps, but there are still many mysteries. And we're so pleased that the Allison project has lasted all these 10 years.
That really started my career in doing social work with people living with dementia.
Some were teens when they were interviewed. Others were adults. No one was in a position of power. But many of them felt the power a new story can have.
And I'd say, unfortunately, probably for the first couple interviews after that I gave, I think I was higher in anxiety, just kind of anticipating like, oh no, what are they going to say? Like it, kind of made me a little bit distrustful. And
I connected with it on somewhat of a personal level. But I never thought that it would actually like get to this stage where it is now. And seeing that like evolution is really crazy.
We're exploring the difference a decade makes and the difference we journalists can make going forward. By first, going back to 2013. I'm Nushra Syed. You're listening to We Met You When, Season 2. This is The Sound That Stays.
I woke up, I could not tell you how many hours later, and I couldn't feel the entire half of my body. It was like very just like tingling pins and needles. And that was one of the big, like scariest moments of my life where I thought, oh my God, like I have this kind of sharp nerve sensation. Like this is not normal. For me at that time, given the degree of unknowns, given the severity of the injury, and this is gonna sound really dark, but I was actually just counting my lucky stars that like I was alive, to be honest. It was one of those scary moments in the hospital where I was like, is this it? Like it can't be it.
Allison Hager was on a trip with her high school snowboarding team, about an hour north of Toronto.
I was going down the hill and I had a clear path forward on a training run, just kind of warming up. There weren't gates or anything. Going down the hill the way that I've done 10,000 times. It's the whole 10,000 hour rule.
Allison is competitive by nature. She's a triplet. She started skiing young with her family and then started snowboarding in the fourth grade. She says she found the boots more comfortable. By the time of that high school trip, she'd been training hard, racing for years, and never imagined that one moment on a hill could change her life.
I just had an individual in front of me who did a very erratic move that I was not anticipating, and I couldn't get out of the way in time. And so I swerved to try and avoid them. And by doing so, I ended up hitting black ice, which is like ice that's been frozen many times and you can't see it coming. And I ended up kind of rotating in air. I was wearing a helmet and I ended up knocking the back of my head, kind of like a snapback motion, like a whiplash motion.
The trip was over for Allison. The ski patrol gave her a flyer about concussions and told her to look out for symptoms. Her dad picked her up and they headed home.
He just kept trying to like play music in the car to like liven up the mood. He played this really weird song and I don't know the name of it. I don't know who sings it, but it's a song. This is gonna sound ridiculous. It's a song about a guy on a ship. And in my head, I had such a headache and I was so dizzy and I felt like I was gonna throw up. And I just remember thinking like, oh my God, turn like this music, I don't care how loud it is or how quiet the volume he turns, it's still super loud. And so we turned off the music and we just sat in silence for the entire hour long car ride.
Allison went straight to bed. Later that night, she woke up feeling numb. Her parents rushed her to the hospital. She was diagnosed with a concussion. And what she heard next hit even harder.
I remember the ER doctor, and to this day, I still honestly don't know his name, but I could see his face. And he's like, you're never going to snowboard again. Like, it wouldn't be advisable for that. My entire identity in terms of my educational and social life at school, as well as my life outside of school, was all linked to snowboarding in some way. And it's something even as a family, like both my parents ski, my sister snowboards, my brother skis. My brother actually coached skiing for a while. I coached snowboarding for a while. We were just a family that would all pile into the car and like go to the ski hill on the weekend. And so to be told like all of that doesn't exist anymore, you can't ever do that again. You're now telling me I have to take an entire belief system that I built my life on, throw it out, and start again at 17.
It was a devastating moment. Yet, just 1 year later, Allison was making headlines.
1 year ago, a horrible fall brought a young snowboarder's career to a halt. Ana Vlahos tells us how she's using that experience to raise awareness about concussions.
That City TV report from 2013 caught our attention. We wanted to know where that research is at, how Allison is doing now, and more about her story. My co-producer, Jacob Christensen, found Allison and set up an interview.
I'm going to be wearing headphones that might seem a bit strange, but it's
that's
just
okay.
Fun, you know, so
that's all good.
Yeah, just so.
I'm curious in the process.
Yeah, it's just like monitor the sound, you know, if there's something weird.
I've never done a podcast before, so this is the first time of all the tech and all that.
Oh, crazy.
I've done a lot of kind of like TV stuff, kind of newspaper print stuff, but podcasts have always interested me. I listen to a lot of them on Spotify,
Parts of Allison's story are still a blur for her, like that late night ride to the hospital.
No, I don't remember the car ride at all. It's one of those things where my memory during that time, the first kind of 48 hours, 24 to 48 hours of having that concussion, my memory goes in and out. Like there are blank spaces where I just don't remember.
Well, Allison was significantly symptomatic. In other words, she didn't get better promptly from her concussion. Fortunately, the majority of people who are concussed for the first time do get better promptly, but she did not.
This is the doctor who treated Allison.
Hi, I'm Charles Tatter, and I'm a neurosurgeon and a scientist.
It turns out he's still in touch with Allison. We'll get to that later. Back when he and Allison met, she didn't understand why it was taking so long to heal.
This was honestly, in hindsight, knowing what I know now about concussion, this was not my first concussion. This was honestly probably not even my second concussion. I probably had quite a few that were undiagnosed before this. But this was different because of the kind of severity of the fall.
Allison's symptoms were so severe, they made everything harder. Even prom.
My agreement with my parents was that I could go to the pre-prom party, but I couldn't ride the party bus to the actual event. My dad had to come pick me up and drive me to the prom. And then he had to come pick me up and take me home, which I'm sure a lot of people, like, you know, they think, oh, that's not that bad. But for me at 17, when your whole life revolves around prom, like, I was devastated that I wasn't getting the full prom experience.
Allison's come a long way since then, and Dr. Tatter is a big part of that.
I like to explain to everybody that he is like the doctor of doctors. He consults on how to like prescribing protocols and treatments for concussion to other medical professionals. He would be the guy to go see.
Allison was very curious about her condition. She even considered becoming a doctor herself.
I got very into brain science during this time in my life. And I used to always ask Dr. Tatter, I'd say, you know, why is it like this and not like that? Or you keep telling me to be patient, wait, how much longer? And he would always kind of entertain these questions, knowing he didn't have an answer. But he would always say, you know, we just don't know. And I found it really frustrating. And I said, you know, Dr. Tatter, like, I really want to give back to this community because it's been, you know, a really tough road to get here. And I want to make sure that if somebody were to find themselves in a similar position that I'm in, I want them to have the answers that I did not at the time. And he said, you know, Allison, that's a really great idea.
Dr. Tatter told Allison that they needed research money.
And like, I was a 17-year-old kid. So, I mean, I'm thinking like bake sale. I'm thinking like car wash. And he's like, we need a fellowship. I was like, how much does that cost? He's like, it starts at $100,000. And I thought, wow, that's a lot of bake sales.
Dr. Tatter put Allison in contact with the University Health Network Foundation. This was the start of the Allison Project. The research fund launched on the one-year anniversary of her accident in January of 2013. Dr. Tatter led that research, and the work eventually went beyond sports.
As we went on, we gradually were treating people who got their concussions in other activities. For example, motor vehicle crashes are a very common cause of concussion. If you're an occupant of a motor vehicle involved in a crash, you can get a concussion. And then more recently, intimate partner violence. So a whole range of additional activities can result in concussion. And so now we see people in all those walks of life who get concussed.
We know more now today than we did 10 years ago. So that's cool. I'm really proud of that one.
Allison says the Allison Project raised more than $250,000 and created 8 fellowships for concussion research. Media coverage helped make that happen. Allison would often check the database of donors for the Allison Project. She could see an uptick.
Some of the names I recognized for sure, just like classmates, friends, neighbors, community members, teammates. But after these media things aired, I mean, a lot of the names I just didn't recognize. I think it was just Canadians in general because we aired coast to coast. So people that just really resonated with it. So I think it actually did help. My first media interview at all, my first actually whole experience with the media in general, was with the Toronto Star. I had this great reporter, David Girard, pulled that name out 10 years later, and he was lovely.
We wanted to know what made that experience so great, so we tracked him down. Turns out his name is not David.
Hi, my name is Dan Girard, and I'm the managing editor of UHN News at the University Health Network in Toronto.
I'm sorry, Daniel.
Dan Girard was a sports reporter at the Toronto Star in 2013.
He met me at a coffee shop in my local neighborhood, and I've been to that coffee shop 10,000 times, and it was one that made me feel really at ease because I was really uncomfortable and very nervous, but he really wanted to do the story justice, and he spent all afternoon with me.
So when you're meeting someone for the first time, unlike broadcast, I didn't have to worry about sound, right? So I wanted to meet in a place that would make her comfortable. I mean, at that point, I'm a mid-40s man who she's never met. I don't want to say, hey, come all the way down to my office or let me come to your school or what have you. So it seemed like a good spot.
As journalism students, this made us think about the importance of making the people we interview feel comfortable. Not in accountability interviews, but in interviews where people are sharing their personal experience, especially one that may still be affecting them, like a brain injury.
Well, concussions are much more serious an injury than we used to think. And not everybody gets better promptly. And the symptoms that can occur are very disruptive. For example, there can be significant headaches. Headaches are probably number one, and they can be very disabling. Another disabling symptom is cognitive decline, especially in terms of what we call executive function. For example, the ability to multitask, the ability to remember what is being said to you, or to be able to pick the right word.
There were days where I really did not want to do a media interview at all, because I felt gross and didn't want to do it. And you kind of have to just do it anyway.
We asked her what journalists could do in those situations.
Controlling the environment, so kind of dimming lights or being aware of loud noises, that would be great. But I would also say as well to give grace to the person you're interviewing. Sometimes they might require you to ask the question a few times or ask it a different way.
Those interviews were tough for Allison back in 2013, but she powered through. She was determined to tell her story.
Concussion affects not just the Sidney Crosbys of the world. They affect everybody. They affect, you know, everybody at all walks and stages of life, including a 17-year-old high school kid, female who fell on a training run. And I wanted to be able to kind of show that level of nuance and to kind of paint that picture.
Another reason to power through was the uptick in donations. The original article included a link to the fundraiser. We wondered how other journalists and editorial leaders might see this, because aren't journalists taught to be impartial or neutral? It seems providing a link means you're supporting a cause. We reached out to Liz Travers. She's president of the Radio Television Digital News Association of Canada.
The last thing you want to do is tell your audience to give money to something that is either, you know, like a scam. That's the worst case scenario. And sometimes, to be honest, sometimes it's hard to tell.
Liz is also former vice president and executive producer of CTV's Canada AM, that was a national morning television show. She remembers Allison's story from 10 years ago.
In my years at Canada AM, we worked very closely with Dr. Tater, and our host, Bev Thompson, would participate in the fundraisers. It was one of the causes that she felt very, very strongly about. So there was never any doubt if we would promote that. We wouldn't go live from a fundraiser, but generally what we would do is talk about the research, talk about the goal, talk about what the money is needed for, and then provide some kind of a link.
For Dan Girard, the reason to include the link was simple.
We weren't doing this out of charity. We were doing this because in a very compelling interview, she made the case for why we should write a story in the first place. And if we were going to write a story, well, you're absolutely right. The story is about the injury, but more importantly, it's about how this woman, with all of this road and the life ahead of her, is actually making something great of what could have been a tragic and catastrophic injury.
The journalists we spoke to were confident that including the link was the right thing to do in this case. We agree, but it still makes us reflect on the potential for unconscious bias when we decide which causes are worthy. After our interview with Dan, he asked us how Allison is doing.
It's cliche, and pardon me for getting a bit hokey with it, but my career in journalism has always been about the people I met.
Allison still struggles with migraines and other lasting effects. And one particular thing from the fall just won't go away.
Your head makes a sound, like it. The helmet almost acts like an echo chamber in a weird way. And I just remember it was the most, it's weird. It was the most devastating sound I've ever heard. It was unlike anything I'd ever experienced. And I knew in the gut of my stomach that something was different. And so that sound has always stuck with me. And it's one of those things that I'll continue to carry with me, not to get too dark and deep, but it's one of those things that I still can hear, even 10 years later.
The worrying tends to stick around too.
Lots of anxiety over what could happen to me in the life that I live if I were to hit my head again, just because those who have a concussion, and a very big one at that, are at higher risk of having a concussion or an event happen at lower impact. So you and I could have the same thing happen to us. You could walk away totally fine and I could be decimated.
Allison stays away from contact sports and doesn't snowboard.
I'm not going to live my life in a bubble. But there are also choices that I make where I think, you know, I could have a really fulsome life and never snowboard again, and I'd be okay with that. And that's one of the choices that I do make. So,
Allison now works as a healthcare consultant. She's passionate about her career. We let Allison know that the former Toronto Star reporter, Dan Girard, asked about her. She had no idea he works at the University Health Network and is a colleague of Dr. Tatter.
I would say I'm surprised that he's no longer with Toronto Star and he's at UHN. So that's really cool. So this whole story has come full circle.
The Allison Project has been absorbed by the Toronto General and Western Hospital Foundation. It doesn't actively raise funds anymore, but continues to offer fellowships.
And there are many gaps even today in our knowledge about concussion, although we have managed to fill in some of the gaps. But there are still many mysteries, and we're so pleased that the Allison Project has lasted all these 10 years, and we're still able to afford to offer this fellowship to young doctors to come and train with us.
Allison will always be proud of the work she did with Dr. Tatter.
You know, honestly, it's very curious 10 years later to have somebody reach out and have such like an interest in it. And it's one of those stories that still to me is a part of me when people even to this day ask me, like, what are you passionate about? I'm passionate about a lot of things, including concussion research and the Allison Project. And it was a huge part of me and still is.
We met you when? Is a production by journalism students from the Creative School at Toronto Metropolitan University. This episode was produced by Jacob Christensen, Joshua Chang, and me, Nusha Syed. Additional mixing by Mia Johnson. Sherry Okeke is our executive producer and professor. Angela Glover is our director of audio production. Our season 2 graphic was created by Mana Hosseini. Web design by Daniela Olariu. Special thanks to Jaleka Lantigua, founder of LWC Studios, for her support during our pitching process. And thank you to the Creative School for the Curriculum Innovation Grant that made Jaleka's participation possible. I'm Nishra Syed. Thanks for listening.